Hi, folks. This is CBD of the Cut Jib Newsletter Worldwide Podcasting Network. I am on today with my friend and co-podicator, JJ Sefton, who apparently is in newly frigid Wisconsin, which isn't fair. We all thought that winter was gone, but it has come back. It's come back here, too. It was snowing yesterday. Anyway, Sefton, how you doing?
Cold, and it's very windy here, but other than that, doing well. All things on personal issues health-wise for me and the wife are seemingly on the upswing, so thank God for that. And we're hanging in there, and of course we have a whole slew of news stories to talk about to depress and enrage you, and that such is our mission in life, to make you all miserable.
Absolutely.
So let us away, as they say.
Yeah. I apologize in advance for sounding even more like a duck than I usually do. I have a cold. So anyway, so the big stories in the last couple of days have been the attacks on America by Islam. I'm not going to say radical Islam. I'm not going to say fundamentalist Islam. I'm not going to say terrorists. I'm going to say Islam, because Islam is the problem. Islam is incompatible with a pluralistic society. It is incompatible with a free people. And we see the results of that at Old Dominion University and at Temple Israel in Bloomfield Hills in Michigan. And it's becoming glaringly obvious, even to those who would prefer not to see it, that Islam cannot function in a free society, because it is not a religion. If you want to call it a religion, I call it a political philosophy. But it's not a political philosophy that can accept freedom. And we are seeing the result of it now. And I think that it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Yes, agreed. We have spoken of this many times separately, and of course on numerous occasions with one of our, and I do call him a friend and a colleague, the estimable Robert Spencer, who is probably, if not the foremost, among the foremost experts on Islam, its what its aims and goals are, and what it's been doing in America and across whatever is left of free Western society and the world in its quest, which is really its goal, to conquer and dominate the world, period, end of story. And really, we can end the podcast, or at least end the segment right there, because that's what it wants to do. It makes no bones about it. It's in all of its holy, quote unquote, scriptures. It is preached in every mosque on the planet, not just in a cave somewhere in Tora Bora, but everywhere from Mecca to Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn to wherever, that Jews are infidels that must be wiped off the face of the earth in order, you know, for paradise to be achieved, etc., and so on and so forth. So, and we've debated whether, you know, we talk about the war in it, you know, with Iran, and it is definitely, you know, it's not that we're at war with Iran. Iran has been at war with the world, and specifically the United States of America and Israel, for 47 years, because Islam has been at war with the world for 1,400 years. And there you have it.
And it's not difficult to see. The problem, obviously, is that the media, and increasingly social media, wants to pretend that we're all the same. And, you know, It's becoming increasingly frustrating when I read reports of a shooting or an attempted shooting at a synagogue, and they very, very carefully don't talk about the fact that the registration on the truck came back to a Lebanese man who lives in Dearborn, Michigan, and whose name is obviously Muslim. They don't want to talk about that because we're all the same, and that's just Islamophobia, and it makes no sense. It's irrational, and I think that probably is the way that we can combat that most effectively. That the evidence before our eyes contradicts what we are being told. Now, whether we have sufficient strength of will in this country to use that evidence, that empirical evidence, and do something about it, I don't know. increasingly pessimistic about the trajectory of the West. There are bright spots. You look at the Reform Party in the UK. You look at Geert Wilders in the Netherlands. I've forgotten her name in Italy.
Georgia Maloney.
Yeah, Meloni is good. She's very, very good, but she's shoveling shit against the tide. Italy is, it's filled with Muslims. I think France is, ooh, boy, there is no organized resistance in France. They're, Le Pen, they're probably going to throw her in jail. So I don't know. I don't want to feel depressed.
Yeah, well, too late. Boat sailed, my friend. I mean, yeah, it is pretty damn depressing. And the fact of the matter is, all but the most of, the only, as you said, and it's true, Islam is incompatible. Forget with the free, with civilization. Islam is anti-civilizational because it seeks the conquest of the world by every means necessary, and the death or subjugation, and certainly the death of certain of its infidels, meaning the Jews, and the subjugation of all others. That's what it seeks. And everywhere it goes, it plants its flag. And that's what it wants to do. When they emigrate to this country, and I hate to paint with a broad brush, but it is evident because they preach it all the time. They come to to Western countries and emigrate in order to increase their population, while Westerners have a zero growth or birth rate, and to take over that said country and make it part of the what's known as the Islamic Ummah, or the global caliphate. Ultimately, that is their goal. They state it freely and openly, and it is we who refuse to listen to it. In fact, people like Robert Spencer or Pamela Geller and those who speak out against it are not only labeled Islamophobe, but they are literally prevented from traveling to places like England and prohibited from speaking. And when they do speak, like Pamela Geller in Texas, you have crazies who go, they're not crazies, they're very, in their mind, they come and they shoot up the place and try to kill her and try to silence her. So there it is. So the only solutions are very, very radical. And that is, and it really can't happen. You must prohibit the immigration, further immigration of Muslims from people from Muslim nations to this, to our country, to Western countries. And I hate to say it, or I should say it, is prohibit the practice of Islam in Western nations. And if you can, depopulate those countries of Muslims who insist on practicing their quote unquote religion. Is that possible? I'm sure not. But, and I might sound like a crackpot or a crazy, so be it. But there it is, folks. They want to kill us and wipe us out and slice our heads off. And so, what are we willing to do to stop that?
Absent a reformation in Islam, you're 100% correct. That is the ultimate goal. Subjugation or death.
Exactly. And what are we willing to do to save our own skins? And when it comes down to it, the use of, and I'm using this as a metaphor and not literally, but the use of lethal force to save our own lives. We must save our own lives by every means necessary.
Well,
And
we saw that in Bloomfield Hills at Temple Israel, where they had armed security, and they shot and killed the terrorist, the murdering Islamic fanatic, or
right. And there
the
was,
attempted murdering
yes.
Islamic fanatic. And
Right.
gee, too bad he burned to death. He also burned,
Oh.
apparently almost beyond recognition, in his car. Yeah, I feel terrible about that.
Yeah,
But
exactly. And
also at old,
we had Old Dominion
yeah.
University. There was a very brave ROTC candidate who literally sliced and diced the shooter.
Well, I've heard two versions of that. One, that the shooter was beaten to death, and two, that he was stabbed to death by one of the ROTC candidates. Doesn't matter. Hopefully both.
And by the way, folks, just as an aside, and it's an important thing to note, yes, Bloomfield Hills was a synagogue, and the targets were Jews. Old Dominion University, I don't know if it's necessarily a Christian school, but the targets were the ROTC, and ROTC is an American institution,
Yes.
Christian, Jewish, whatever. And of course, the American military now is has and always has been a target of leftists and Muslims. So and they work hand in hand because they see that is an the military has always been a traditional bastion of Americanism and of American ideals. So there it is. So they're not just coming for the Jews, my friends. Wake up, because they come as you have said, CBD, many times. They come for the Friday people, and then they come for the Saturday people, and then they come for the Sunday people. So we are all under the gun, or the knife, or
So,
whatever.
by the way, Old Dominion is a public university in
Huh?
Virginia, which I didn't know. I just looked it up, folks. I thank God for the internet sometimes.
Yes.
So that makes it even less rational. Although we shouldn't expect rationality. The overall goal, of course, is to cow us into submission, and the way they do that is by killing us. You know, if they kill enough of us, the rest of us will be cowed into submission. And our goal, our job as a free pluralistic society is to resist that with everything we can resist with. And that includes arming up. I think that any Jew in America who doesn't at least have a passing familiarity with small arms is a fool.
Amen. Absolutely. It
Yeah.
is, and that and any, and any decent law-abiding citizen, when regardless of whether it's a Muslim or a crazed transsexual high on hormones and propaganda, goes to shoot up a school or wherever, or anybody goes in anywhere to shoot anything up, or to, it is incumbent upon you, the citizen, hopefully if you can conceal carry or whatever, to do your duty, defend yourself, and if you can, defend those around you, and put the miscreant down and send them to hell, whoever it is, Muslim or whoever it is, anybody who is out to take lives and take your life, it is incumbent upon you to defend yourself.
Well said. So let's move on to another kind of traitor to America. That is the former National Security Advisor, John Bolton,
Ugh.
who many people on the conservative side of the political spectrum liked very much for a long, long time. But he has, well, you know, I'm not going to go into his obvious Trump derangement syndrome, but in the last couple of days, he's talked about how Donald Trump has badly misjudged the conflict with Iran, and that the analysis comparing it to Venezuela was fundamentally flawed, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I'll quote him. He may have believed that he could do a Venezuela, but if he did, he was wrong when he believed it. He's clearly wrong today. I don't know what the hell John Bolton's talking about. I think he's desperate for attention. I think that his 15 minutes are over, and he has to be more and more inflammatory to remain in the news. It's very obvious that Donald Trump's conduct with respect to Venezuela was radically different than what he is doing, he and the administration and the Department of War and our wonderful military is doing in Iran. The goals are absolutely different. It's obvious. And what John Bolton is talking about, I really don't have any idea.
Yeah, he's just basically, shooting his mouth off and just sort of taking pot shots at, and Donald Trump does have bluster, but look, and we did take down Maduro in Venezuela, and rightly so. They're a drug running narco terroristic organization, and by the way, we're allied with Iran,
Yeah.
and we're see and he hopefully is on the path, depending upon who becomes what government forms in Venezuela. Hopefully, it's a pro-American or a pro-freedom and a non-socialistic government that had failed it for many, many decades and impoverished and immiserated the people there. And hopefully the same can be said of Iran. And basically, by liberating that country, eradicating the threat to the West and to all of us by Iranian terrorism and Iranian potential nuclear weapons. That is the goal, Mr. Frickin' Bolton. But no, but it's funny how when Obama and Biden We're shoveling billions of dollars at the mullahs, and we're signing and concluding that ridiculous deal to basically allow the Iranians to develop nuclear weapons and to remove Israel as the bastion of freedom in and the superpower or a power in the region to quell all that. You didn't say boo about that. Or if you did, you applauded it, bastard.
I don't want to talk much about Bolton because he's a smarmy little cocksucker, and I said, as I said, his time has passed.
Good.
But speaking of Iran, I wrote at on Cut Jib Newsletter and at Ace of Spades yesterday. I asked the question, "What does winning in Iran mean? What is that?" And my answer to that is, and I'll quote myself, "Winning in Iran means degrading their war-making capacity down to nothing, so they cannot threaten their neighbors and world commerce. It means destroying their nuclear program so that rebuilding it would take many, many years." Now, notice I did not say it also means freeing the Iranian people from the grip of the mullahs. That would be a wonderful, glorious result. That would be fantastic. But it is not our job to protect the freedoms of everybody in the world. It is incumbent upon Donald Trump to protect America and its allies first. And if we can do other stuff while remaining focused on the importance of America and its allies, that's fine. But the goal should not be freeing the Iranian people. That is their job, and I think they're up to it.
I agree, and I would also add just a free Iranian people that can choose a sane alternative to a mollocracy, and to not have an Islamized nation and a relatively free society. What that can look like, whether it's, whatever it might be, and can live in peace and harmony with its neighbors, especially, and once again reestablish the good relationship it had with the state of Israel. That would do much to ensure not only the peace of the world, but our own national security. So here's hoping that they are up for that task and that they do follow that path.
Listen, it would be nice if Iran became a bastion of Western thought and Western culture in the Middle East, and they could join hands with Israel and clean up, or as much as the Middle East could be cleaned up, the muck of Islam. I doubt that's going to happen, but as long as they're not, as long as they don't return to their old ways, it's really not our business. If they become a soft socialist state, the way some of the Scandinavian countries operate, that's okay. It's not my choice. I would recommend that they don't do that, but it's up to them. But as long as they no longer foment, my God, chaos throughout the world, and as long as they're not pursuing, maniacally pursuing nuclear weapons, that's okay with me. Do what you want, folks. It's your country.
Yes, agreed. And they did have very good relations under the Shah. They had very good, excellent relations with the state of Israel, and hopefully that can. And from what I understand, it's some of the protests, that were going on while we were bombing them, and they were not only waving American flags, they were waving Israeli flags. Amazing. And
It
not
is pretty,
burning them,
it is pretty impressive, isn't it?
they were waving it. So that's that is a good sign. I will hopefully that is a harbinger of good things to come down the road.
I agree.
Please, dear God.
So let's return to the United States for a bit and talk about the
Yes.
SAVE Act. Wow, what a mess. Thune, the Senate Majority Leader, is a craven, professional GOP scum. He has no interest in what is good for America. He has every interest in what is good for his short-term goals, which is simply to remain in power, remain in office. He's playing parliamentary tricks and games to avoid a clear, unambiguous, simple vote up or down, because that would put people on record as saying, no, I don't believe in the sanctity of the vote. In addition to that, John Cornyn, who's in trouble in Texas, is playing games, supposedly trying to hold out for a excuse me, for an endorsement from Donald Trump before he supports the SAVE Act. I don't know what the hell's going on, but it makes me want to puke.
Yeah, Cornyn has to go because he is on the, thank God, he's actually on the ropes. Ken Paxton has a very, very good shot of beating him, thank God. And Ken Paxton is pretty solid. He, Ken, and, going sort of circling back to Islam in America, Ken Paxton is sounding the alarm bell of potential Islamic, communities that are taking root in, of all places, Texas. And he is really, he's solid. So, generally speaking, a solid guy. And Cornyn is just, well, it's easy to be solid because John Cornyn is a craven rhino and horrible, absolutely horrible. So hopefully he goes. Hopefully Thune can be given the boot. And yes, it's
Look, if we can
the only reason they're
thrust.
against, yeah, open borders is good for big business, sadly. And that's why they're against it. They don't care what it does.
If Thune can be forced to bring a vote onto the floor, that's fine. I don't care. I don't care how it happens, but it needs to happen. And it's insanity that 80 plus percent of America supports the SAVE Act. And he's claiming that it's impossible to bring to the Senate floor. That's a lie. It's a bald-faced lie. Thune is a whore, and he needs to be voted out of office. And more than that, I think that if he doesn't do his job and bring the SAVE Act to the Senate floor, I think Donald Trump should make it his life's work to destroy Thune. That would make me very happy.
Absolutely. And then, of course, what of the execrable piece of garbage we spoke about before we went on the air from you know where? Oh, God.
Oh, Murkowski?
Yes.
Yeah, she's a real charmer. She came out against the SAVE Act because, of course, she probably wouldn't have won re-election with the SAVE Act in place. So.
No, yeah, that's that's a corrupt machine up there. She, I just have always hated her since she. Joe Miller, who would have been a wonderful senator from Alaska and a solid conservative, she by running as an independent, she basically destroyed his chances because she has had to be whatever. Wasn't her father or something the senator there and or something? And she it's just another nepotistic criminal, and her and her lesbian girlfriend from Maine, Collins. Oh my
Oh
God,
God, she's mushy-headed though. She
terrible.
really is a moron.
And
Anyway.
so this, so God bless Donald Trump, who's able to accomplish what he's able to accomplish without a political party behind him. It's
Yeah.
incredible. Miracle, really.
And he's working so hard for the American people. And by the way, I don't agree with everything he does, and I think that his bombast is counterproductive in many, many ways. To assume that he is operating for anyone else other than the American people is insane. Remember, do you remember that scummy Congressman Joe Walsh?
Of course, yeah. Oh, I see.
The
Oh,
guy
God.
who was playing fast and loose with his child support, and he's a real sleaze.
Yeah, he
Apparently,
is too.
one of the most corrupt members of Congress. So he is a Democrat, of course, because his Trump derangement syndrome is off the charts. I don't even know why I'm bringing him up. Just because he's so
Well,
full of shit most of the time.
yes.
But yeah, I have no idea why I brought him up. Never mind.
I mean,
I
he's on our
just I
Twitter.
just want to talk shit about Joe Walsh because he's a scumbag.
He's on our Twitter feed, and I just puke every time I see
Yeah.
piece of the propaganda that he spouts, which is just execrable.
Oh, that's it. Propaganda. Yeah. He buys into most of the propaganda that is pumped out of the anti-Trump, I don't know, communitariat. Who knows why they exist? But that got me thinking about the propaganda that is being pumped out by the pro-Iranian groups that are spending tons of money pushing this stuff on Twitter and Facebook and all the other various social media sites. And done so poorly, and it's so obviously fake, and so obviously incorrect, and so obviously lies, that I wonder how successful it is. Or are they just, pumping it out because that's what they do?
Well, you brought up one example. Supposedly, there was some footage or something of Tel Aviv is in
Oh yeah,
flames,
Tel Aviv is burning. I saw that a couple of days ago. And
I'm like,
it was just video from Tehran.
exactly.
It's just nuts. I don't know. I don't really have a question. I don't really have a point other than it's so odd that this stuff is all over the internet. And it as I said, it seems it's so transparently fake and so transparently wrong and incorrect. I don't know why they do it. It seems like a, a drop of truth would go a long, long way. And there are, the United States has had setbacks in Iran. We've lost several service members. There was a crash of a KC-135 tanker either this morning or yesterday. I'm not sure when. These are things that are, of course, it happens. It's the unavoidable result of war, no matter how successful the war is being conducted. But making it up, oh, they hit the one of the carriers with a missile, and it has to return to the United States. Come on, it's just nonsense. Why do they do it?
I
I'm
mean,
not asking for an answer.
right.
I'm just puzzled. So.
I mean, it's just, I mean, sowing did the sowing disinformation, whatever, to have dissent in the ranks and to make people, whatever, and dissent at home and in the citizenry is one thing. I get it, but it's so phony that it's laughable. It's cartoonish, and
Yeah.
I mean, but they'll
Well,
do it. I guess that's all they have.
maybe that's it. Maybe it's they're just trying to sow discontent with all forms of communication so that nobody trusts anything. But the
Exactly.
mainstream media did a great job of that starting, oh boy, in the 30s.
Starting with Walter Cronkite
Yeah.
after the Tet
Oh.
Offensive. I mean, that was bad, but I mean, the North Vietnamese and the Viet Cong basically blew their load and had Walter Klondike or whatever kept his fucking yap shut, that would have been it. And America pushed forward from there. We probably could have won, quote unquote, the Vietnam War in 1969.
Yeah.
As opposed to, having
Yeah.
to be, forced, Nixon having to get us just the hell out of there. But that's another story. But that's one example for sure.
Yeah. Anyway, we are we're rambling far afield, so I think it's time to call this one a day.
Yes.
Folks, thank you very, very much for listening and for reading our stuff over at cutchipnewsletter.com and at Ace of Spades. And thank you for hitting the tip jar and all that neat stuff that keeps the lights on. It's much appreciated. And we will continue to jabber at you incoherently sometimes for as long as we can. Sefton, take it away.
Indeed, for my dear friend CBD, it's JJ Sefton here, and the only thing I can add to my gratitude and thanks is my absolute gratitude for your good wishes and support as I and my wife go through some health challenges, but we're doing better, and thanks to your prayers and good wishes. Thank you all so much. I can't even put it into words, and now I am jabbering. But thanks again, and we will see you next week on the next one with more, hopefully better news from around the world, across the nation, and up your street. God bless you all.
Thanks for listening, folks.